With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I'm Bama John. I'm joined by Will Kay. In this episode, we will get Will Kay's reaction to Bama's wild win over South Carolina, 29-22 in Columbia, South Carolina, as they get a big SEC road win. And in my opinion, they essentially steal one on the road after being outplayed for much of the game. Bama's now on a 7-game winning streak, 5-0 in the SEC, 7-1 on the season. Today is Sunday, October 26, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 5,600 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing. We're heading towards 10,000. So come on, get on the bandwagon, join us. Like, subscribe, hit the notify button. And if you're accessing us on the various audio outlets for the podcast, please like, follow, subscribe on those as well. Okay, Will Kay, give me your quick thoughts on the game and then we'll dive in because there's a ton of good stuff to go into. But first off, give me your quick thoughts, your reaction initially before we jump into the details.
It was pretty scary there for three and three-fourths quarters. Did steal one. It's actually a pretty big win now that it was that we were about to lose it. I think that that really showed that we need to run the ball better. We cannot be one-dimensional. I don't know if we were even one-dimensional this game. We couldn't get anything going on offense. The defense – played okay. I mean, they made big plays that, you know, changed the game, that interception and then the fumble at the end. So we did enough to win, but there's a lot to fix.
Agreed. So from the defensive standpoint, I thought we were bend but don't break. I mean, the fact that we held them to 22 points and really they got that freebie touchdown off of the muffed punt that went off of Mbakwe and, you know, again, special teams beats us up and they get one there. And so they get a short field off of that fumble recovery, run it in there. So they get 7 points there, but then you could argue we got a cheapy 7 point on that pick six. Wide receiver bobbles the ball, goes into our guy's hands. He does a great job of getting the ball, running it in. So you could say, yeah, they got a cheap seven. We got a cheap seven. But I thought our defense was bend but don't break. I thought we got hit with some gash plays. Certainly that 54-yard touchdown from Sellers to Nick Harbors. I mean, that was bad. I mean, we just got beat over the top. He if you watch that play, and I've been looking at that play today repeatedly, he just takes off running. And if you're the cornerback, you got to see him coming out hard off the line. He is in a full dead-on sprint. He's the fastest receiver they have. He's actually a track sprinter as well. Did you know that?
I did know that.
So how are they not prepared for him going deep and for them taking a shot play? And he gets behind our whole secondary. You got to read that coming off the line. And the worst thing you can do is get beat over the top. We get beat over the top. They get an easy touchdown there. And then I thought we got gashed a lot by Sellers getting out of, you know, we almost sack him, but he gets out. Or, you know, the middle opens up and he runs up the middle because we don't have gap integrity on our rushes. On that touchdown he scored, we didn't set the edge. And if we look at that, so I thought we were bend but don't break, but hey, we held them to 22 points. But I thought until the fourth quarter, Mike Shula was out coaching Kane Womack. I mean, Mike Shula, do you remember? He's getting bashed coming in as a bad OC, how bad South Carolina's offense is.
And, of course, he plays amazing against us. It's every time. I mean, I don't know what it is, but.
Well, I think those are just some holes in our defense in that we have that bend but don't break mentality. Unfortunately, we got two key turnovers to help us win the game, but we've got to be better if we want to win a national championship. I think we're going to the playoffs. I think we're likely to end up in the SEC championship, but if we want to win a natty, we've got to be better on defense and give up less of those chunk plays that get you beat. And then offensively, we had one good drive in the first half. And then the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, our offense was clicking and we were in gear and we found our offense. But the rest of the game, so you can argue for 3 minutes in the first half and for 10 minutes in the second half. So basically a quarter, we played really good offense for one quarter and we were off the rest of the game. And they have a good defense, but yeah, that was tough. Our offense was not up to snuff as to where it has been. And we did turn the ball over. We had the muff, we had two fumbles, right? We had the muff punt and then we had the sack on we had the sack on Simpson, Ty Simpson, when he got sacked and the ball squirted out there. So but no picks. But it was just a tough day at the office and we stole one, and a really good teams get wins when they don't play well. And that was encouraging. And think about this. Tell me what you think about this theory. This was our fifth SEC game in a row. This was our third road game in 5 weeks. I think our team was tired. I think our team had won four big games. And I just think we had a letdown. I think we just were tired. And I'm glad we have a break. And so to get a win, because last year's team, when they were in this scenario, lost. Mm-hmm. So I love that, because that means when you're not playing your best, you can still find a way to win. That's what championship teams do. Think about all these NFL teams that just find a way to win when they're not playing great and find a way to steal one. I think that's encouraging, but we got to play better when we get in the playoffs. You play like this in the playoffs against Ohio State, against Indiana, you know, maybe against somebody like a Texas Tech or Miami or Texas A&M, and you
even
lose.
A Georgia again,
right? You lose.
Yep.
So those are things. What do you think about that being fifth game in a row? Do you think we're tired? Do you think we saw maybe just we didn't have the energy? We're a little worn out. What do you think?
I mean, I think I saw it coming from a mile away. Maybe not to this extent. I thought maybe we'd struggle. It's away. We just had four ranked games, you know, maybe not cover the spread. We still didn't. But I didn't think of it like this. I mean, we were lucky to win that game. And I don't know what it is about Kalen DeBoer. He cannot – I mean, he did it this time barely, but it was looking like he was going to do it. He cannot beat an unranked team on the road. But he – he can beat Georgia. He can beat LSU. He can beat all these ranked teams, but he can't – I mean, he won this one, but it was close. He's like the anti-James Franklin. I don't know what it is.
Hey, but we won. Maybe he's broken the streak, right? Maybe he's broken the streak. Maybe.
The two unranked road games that he's won is this one and Wisconsin. That's it.
Well, but we got it done. So we did get it done. It was ugly. It was a nail biter. And quite honestly, when we went in and scored the touchdown, I thought the drive took too long. And I'm like, oh, we left them plenty of time to gash us, go down, kick a field goal, walk off the field. And I thought we were going to lose by a field goal. Did you think that?
That fumble was pretty clutch.
It was big time, because I don't think had we gotten that fumble and gotten that turnover, I don't think we would have stopped them on downs. I think they would have gotten in field goal range and then kicked the field goal, and it would have been either you miss the field goal, we go to overtime, or they get a walk-off field goal and we lose. So I was real – I couldn't believe it. Yep. And then the best part is they let us score.
Yeah.
They let us score. Why did they not want to make Talty have to kick that? I think they should have pushed us out of bounds and forced Talty to have to make the kick, because I thought Talty would miss it. I thought he would choke. I did not.
Well, at that point, Talty. I mean, he was like inside the 10.
Still, he hasn't proven to be clutch.
Yeah, Connor Talty was the one who was exhaling after Jeremy Bernard scored that touchdown.
Oh, yeah, I was too. I was like, what? I thought it was over. I'm like, they don't have enough time. I don't care how much they were gashing us. I thought we could rush four, keep seven back, and keep everything in front because they had to score a touchdown at that point.
Too. Hey, I will say, though, Connor Talty, that was a good squib kick on that last. That was good. And
yeah.
They're like the 12-yard line with 30 seconds left with no timeouts. Yeah, it was.
Well, he's been good on kickoffs as well. He seems to have a pretty good leg. He seems to be able to reach the end zone on kickoffs most of the time, but anything outside of 40, I have no confidence in. And then we would have been on the right hash, and I was afraid he was going to miss it on the right hash, even though it might have been, what, a 25-yard field goal. I'm like, he might miss that, or they might block it. So I had no faith in Talty. And when we scored, I'm like, we're going to win this thing. Because I really thought he was going to miss the field goal. We'd go to overtime, and then we'd find a way to lose.
Yep.
But what's funny to me is last year, they beat us. But we won. They outplayed us here in Tuscaloosa last year, and we got lucky to win because we got some turnovers. Mm-hmm. And that was fortunate. But I really thought South Carolina outplayed us. And this year – until the last 10 minutes of the game, they did it again to us. They had us down 22-14 when Ty started that drive. And tell me what you think about this. I think South Carolina was out of gas that last 10 minutes of the game because they don't sub as many players as we do. I think our guys were fresher. I thought Ty was really effective on that. We actually ran the ball fairly well on that drive as well. We made some nice runs. Daniel Hill made some nice plays. We seemed to be able to get plays. And then we got down there and we scored and then also made that cool two-point conversion play, which was really cool. I thought they were gassed. I thought that we had them worn out because they don't have the depth that we do. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was just circumstantial. You know, they just – I mean, I don't know. It's just – that's just how it went, you know. That fumble was just insane. I mean, you know, besides that, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say they were letting us score. I mean, you know, they did let Jeremy Bernard score. But on the first touchdown – I mean, I think that they were still, you know, playing.
No, I think they were, but I think they were tired is my point. I think they were doing everything they could to stop us on the long drive where we tied it. But I just think they were out of gas and their depth, their second teamers are not as good as ours. And they weren't confident to put them in. And I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked at how many second teamers were in there because their guys were tired and maybe we're gashing some of their second teams. But I just think South Carolina was worn out now in the last 10 minutes of that game.
I mean, and you got to think, I mean, I know that they're 3-5, but this was a almost top 10 team to start the year. I don't think that they are as bad as their record. I mean, I know Lenore Sellers has been hurt. They only lost to Missouri by like,
They had a lead in the fourth quarter against Missouri. They had a lead in the fourth quarter against Alabama. I believe they had a lead in the fourth quarter. Was it LSU or Texas A&M? One of those. Maybe it was Texas A&M that they had a lead. And they were nip and tuck with Vanderbilt, but then Sellers got knocked out of that game in the second quarter. And after that, it was a runaway. Mm-hmm. So
I do think that they are better than they're given credit for. Now, their schedule is really hard upcoming.
Well, and it's been hard so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had a tough schedule, and they're not as deep. Remember, they lost a lot of guys to the NFL last year. They had five or six guys get drafted the first four rounds, and they were not able to replace them effectively through the portal. And their recruiting classes haven't been as good as Alabama's either. So they're they have SEC NFL-level players. And gosh, Sellers is a Sunday quarterback, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play. I think he's better than Milroe. If you, who would you take if you said you can have one of these two quarterbacks to lead you in a game? Would you take Sellers or Milroe? I'd take Sellers.
Oh, yeah, Sellers for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a legitimate – I mean, we couldn't get him on the ground until we stopped him on that up-the-middle run and stripped the ball out of him. But, I mean, he was – how many times did we have him down and he broke tackles? Or he would outrun guys or run through tackles. And it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, think about this. Have you looked at the offensive stats and the overall stats?
I have not.
So
I know that they had the ball longer than we did. I know.
But think about this. Total yards was a wash, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We had 325 yards in the game. They had 333.
Mm-hmm.
We passed for 253 yards. They passed for 222. Rushing, they had 111 yards. That's kind of cool. Listen to this. And I just noticed this. It's just funny. Their total yards were 333. Their passing yards were 222. Their rushing yards were 111. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
But, I mean, it was basically a wash. So, in terms of total yardage.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It was about the same. But time of possession, they had 32 minutes and about 30 seconds. We had 27 minutes and 30 seconds. But in the last 10 minutes of the game, we had the ball 8 minutes and 30 seconds. So you mm-hmm. take that 8 minutes and 30 seconds away from our time of possession, basically going into the last 10 minutes of the game, they had the ball 30 minutes. We had the ball like 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they were killing us on time of possession till the last 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. And it was an 8 minute drive to score the tying touchdown. Then we strip the ball away, score again, and they get the ball back with like 30 something seconds left. So really that fourth quarter, they were dominating us. They were ahead in score 22-14. They had us on time of possession, and they had us on yardage as well because we ate up a ton of yards on those last two drives to even it out. So they dominated us until the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter where we flipped the script, go down, score, get the two-point conversion, then get the takeaway. They give us the touchdown instead of instead of pushing us out of bounds and forces the field goal. And all of a sudden we end up essentially tied on all the stats other than time of possession and win and steal one, which I love, but what a crazy, crazy thing. So we always like to talk about these noteworthy stats. So penalties, they beat us on penalties. We were 6 for 52. James Smith, thank you. I think he was offsides twice. He seems mm-hmm. to get a lot of penalties. They only had 5 penalties for 40 yards. Turnovers were even, 2 and 2. We had a pick 6. They got the muff fumble and converted that into a touchdown. So that was a wash. They beat us on time of possession. Total yards was essentially a wash. So it was just a narrow, almost inexplicable win when you think about all that. Mm-hmm. Crazy stuff. I mean, you know, how do you explain
that? You know, that really, it really helps. I mean, you know, we've already gone through the hard part of our schedule, but you know, LSU and Oklahoma, I know they're at home and they both just lost in LSU. I'm not really worried about LSU, but
I'm not either. They're bad.
There's always something. I don't know. Garrett Nussmeier doesn't scare me, but it's still LSU. They still have talent.
And he's not mobile. Remember, we just dual threat quarterbacks that give us fits. We killed him last year because he can't run away from anybody. Our guys will run him down. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's here. DeBoer doesn't lose.
I mean, looking at it, I think the game I'm most scared of, probably Auburn.
Right. It's always scary to go there. We always have weird things happen. But if we go into Auburn 10-1, it doesn't matter. Because if we go into Auburn 10-1, then we're 7-0 in the SEC. We may have locked up an SEC championship appearance if we're 7-0 going in there. And we'll certainly at 10-1 have locked up a playoff spot. So it may not matter. So we just need to beat Oklahoma at home. We need to beat LSU at home. We're gonna kill Northern Illinois. That's gonna be an Austin Mack, Keelan Russell special to get lots mm-hmm. of playing time. But we need to win those two games, and then we're in the catbird seat.
Yep. Looks like, you know, for now, if everything holds, we keep winning. Looks like we'll be playing Texas A&M.
Right. Right. Now, but they've got some games. You know, there's a lot that can play out between Georgia, a one-loss Georgia. If Texas A&M loses a game, maybe loses to Texas or whoever else they've got on the schedule. If Ole Miss goes undefeated the rest of the way, it's going to be really interesting to see. But I think it's going to be one of those three teams, don't you? It's going to be Alabama.
So if probably, if we went out and Texas A&M wins out, then it's Bama versus Texas A&M.
Right, right. No doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, Texas A&M could slip up and lose. They were in trouble in the first half against LSU. And we both agree LSU's not that great. Texas, you just don't know what you're going to get. They're dangerous. They got lucky to win, but they're dangerous. All right, let me go back. Because we're going to talk about all this in a minute. But let me go back to a couple other things I want to point out in the game. And then I want to talk about kind of heroes of the game, guys that played really well, and get your take. But think about this. Bama had 5 3-and-outs. We punted 5 times in this game, and we turned the ball over on downs 1 time as well. We had 6 empty possessions. We haven't punted 5 times in any game. I'm not sure we've even punted twice in a game other than this game. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
And so if you have 6 empty possessions and then you turn the ball over twice as well, one on a muffed punt and one on that sacked fumble of Ty, that's crazy. Our offense was really ineffective this time. But our punter averaged 55 yards a kick.
That's good. That's good.
So and we pinned them back some. South Carolina only punted the ball 4 times.
They kicked a lot of field goals.
They did. They were 3 for 4 on field goals, and they had a missed field goal, which was big. That was big.
Yeah.
But, I mean, until that last 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, they outplayed us. They were beating – but, again, they had leads in fourth quarters at Missouri. I think they had a lead in the fourth quarter against either Texas A&M or LSU, whichever one they played.
You can't say it was all luck. Alabama made the plays that they needed to win the game. They had that drive, scored a touchdown, got the 2-point conversion. Deontay Lawson rips the ball out, and then Jeremy Bernard scores another touchdown. I mean, nothing lucky about it. I mean, they made the plays that they needed to win.
No, I agree that they made the plays and they kept playing and they overcame mistakes. This team's really resilient. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, that last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, we were still fighting and we didn't let down. And I felt I still contend that South Carolina may be gassed at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the game. It's a 60-minute game, not a 50-minute game. If the game ends at minute, say, even 57, we lose. But we were driving, and we were right there, and we finished them off. So, I mean, I love this team. I love that. And we can't be up every week. I still don't think we've played an A game all year other than Louisiana Monroe. I have to give that an A+. I mean, we killed them. We did everything right. That was like as perfect a game you could play, but look who the competition was.
I would say the closest that we've gone to an A game is probably Tennessee.
Yeah, but remember, Tennessee was right there on the doorstep, could have scored, and we get the pick 6 and that 14-point swing, and then they gashed us on some plays. So I agree with you. We played well in that game. We got the win, but I don't think that was an A game. I think I graded it like a B+ was what I graded it was. I thought it was a B+ game. And, you know, at times our defense got gashed, and we gave up that big run, which, you know, what the heck were we doing there? I mean, that was a sweet run by them, but they gashed our defense. So – I would contend we haven't seen an A game yet, which I love the fact that we can play what I think is a B to B plus game and we can win all these games. I love that fact because I don't think we've reached our ceiling. I don't think we've maxed out. We can get better. And to me, in the film room, there's a lot to clean up the next week, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I think the players can get better. The team can get better. So I'm encouraged that we can play better. We can do better. I think Ty's been great this season. I think he's played at an A level all season. I think Jeremy Bernard's played at an A level all season. Yeah. I think Brailsford's been great. I don't think anybody else on our offensive line has been great, but I think Brailsford's been great on the O-line. Tell you who else I think has really played well all season is Cuevas.
Yeah.
I think he's been money. I think he's been money on blocking. I think he's been money on clutch passes and making clutch plays. I've really been impressed with him. But on the offensive end, other than that, I can't think of anybody that I think has played at a consistent A level game in and game out. I mean, thoughts on that?
Jeremy Bernard.
Oh, well, I said Jeremy. I thought I said Jeremy, but he, yeah, Jeremy's been money. He's been the receiver week in and week out that just you can always count on running the ball, blocking, catching the ball, running precise routes. He's been great. Yep. And then defensively, I don't think any defensive player game in and game out has played well. I think we've had guys that are playing well and that have played well, but I think game in and game out, I can't say like Yanze Pierre's come on, but where was he at the beginning of the season? Tim Keenan's been hurt, so you know you have to give him a pass on that. Deontay Lawson's made some has missed plays that he needs to make to be good. Sure. He's been really good, and we've had guys make plays. Love Bray Hubbard, but he's had some bad moments. He's had some great moments, but bad moments. So defensively, we can get a whole lot better. So I love the
fact. I think the closest guy maybe on defense would be Justin Jefferson, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, but he hasn't been great every game.
Yeah, but he's probably the closest one.
Well, and I can show you this later. I'm going to put up a quick vid on this. But there was a play where we rushed five guys and the middle just opens up and Sellers scoots up the middle. Well, Jefferson and two other guys were all blitzing on that side and Jefferson should have blitzed right in that middle gap that opened up, but he chose to follow another guy and it just left the open up. So, I mean, JJ missed his assignment. I mean, when you see an open and you're blitzing, you see an open in the middle to get to the quarterback, go there. It's kind of like a running back. When you see the hole open up, just run through it when you're blitzing. So, yeah. JJ missed that. It was a big play because Sellers scooted for a lot of yardage and they got a field goal out of that drive. They didn't get a touchdown, but they got a field goal out of it. So, he's been really good, but he hasn't been perfect for sure. There's stuff to – for him to be more disciplined and such. So I just wanted to point that out. All right, what else in this game kind of stood out to you, things to note?
I think we got to make a change at running back. I mean, we cannot run the football well at all.
So what does that mean?
A.K. Deer.
Well, I mean, do you think – I thought Daniel Hill was great in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he would be a change. I mean, Jam Miller's just not – he's just not doing it. I love Jam. He was good last year. I don't know. We can't run the ball very well. We need to be able –
And how much of that's the line, O-line, not run blocking effectively, and how much of it is – because I think, to me, Jam and Daniel are the two most effective running backs we have right now. I don't know. We haven't seen A.K. Deer. And it wouldn't bother me to start Daniel Hill and then rotate in Jam. But
you know who I thought would have a lot more playing time and who has had virtually none?
Dre Washington?
No.
No.
Richard Young.
Oh, he's buried. He must have issues that we don't know about because he's not getting any playing time.
No, he's not out there at all.
And have you heard this? Because I heard that Daniel Hill, early part of the season, had been fighting injuries, and that's why we haven't seen him till the last 3 weeks play much. Is it even through the Georgia game there were some injury issues, and maybe due to that he wasn't up to snuff? But all of a sudden he came up big in Missouri, right? He played well in Missouri, played well against Tennessee, and he was huge. He had four catches for 76 yards in this game. And, you know, he came up big. So, what would your answer be right now? If you're Kalen DeBoer, what would your answer be at running back? Who would you start?
Probably Daniel Hill. I mean, Jam Miller just looks like he's just weaving. He's just like, he doesn't pick a hole and just go. He kind of just, I don't know, wades and sits there. He did have a big run that got called back.
Yeah, and that stunk. That stunk.
That did suck.
And again, that points to our offensive
line. Maybe try a different run scheme. Not just, you know, out of the shotgun, just
under center, eye. Under yeah. center, handoff. So maybe that you like can do some
pitch,
play
maybe
action.
Like a pitch or something. So run more pitch plays. I don't know. You got to shake it up. That halfback draw did work.
Yeah.
I just, the run has just not been there at all.
Well, other than like give it to Jeremy Bernard or
Ryan. Yeah, I mean, that we can't run stuff. The ball so bad that we line our receiver at running back.
Or you do a jet sweep or you do some of those other kind of things that count as run plays. But but what's nice is we've been able to win all these games without a traditional Alabama running attack. So that shows, to me, that shows how good we are in the short passing game and using that in lieu of an effective run game. Now, I don't know if you can win a national championship if we can't run the ball any better. And that's a concern I have. But we're going to make the playoffs without a great running game, which is going to be crazy. Yeah. But I don't know how much of it is O-line, how much of it is our blocking.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Scheme. And how much of it is we don't have Derrick Henry back there. We don't have Jahmyr Gibbs back there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might be both. And I think it's a mixture of, you know, this staff likes to throw the ball. They probably spend a lot more time on their routes. They spend more time
pass blocking, all of that.
They worry more about that than they do the run, I think. Because at Washington, that's all they did. They threw the ball. I don't remember them.
They had 1,000. Believe it or not, they had 1,000-yard rusher that year. They went to the title game and got beat up by Michigan.
We might not have a 500-yard rusher.
I know.
I mean, it is.
And last year, Milrow was our leading rusher.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. I think it might be Jam Miller, and I hate to say it because I love Jam Miller, but he's just. I don't know what it is. He's just not. He's not doing it.
Well, and tell me what you think about this, but I don't think Jam has that extra gear to run away from people. Because Derrick Henry would get to the second level and he'd be gone. He could run away from the defensive backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, he would leave him in the dust. Mm-hmm. I think Jam may be more like a 4.6 kind of running back, not a 4.4 or 4.5. I don't think he's got that extra gear.
Nope.
And that hurts. Daniel Hill seems to be a load.
Yeah.
He seems to be a load. I'm a big fan of his. And, of course, early in the season, I thought he was going to be the number one running back. And he's now where I thought he would be earlier in the season. I don't know how much of it was injuries, how much of it was lack of being able to execute what they wanted him to do. I'm not sure, but he's getting the playing time now. So on the offense, I noted these four players as I thought who had outstanding games or were really key to the win over South Carolina. First one I said is Ty Simpson. We don't win that game with Jalen Milroe. If Jalen Milroe's back there, we don't win that game.
No.
So hats off to Ty. He played great when we needed him to. He didn't have a great game. It was actually probably his worst game since Florida State. But he came up clutch because the drive in the first half where we went down and scored, and I think we scored on a fourth down pass to Cuevas to put 7 points on the board. So he had a great drive in the first half. And then when we needed him in the fourth quarter, he came up big. And how many scrambles did he make to where it looked like he was going to get sacked to pick up positive yards or get a first down or to move around in the pocket to buy time to make a nice throw downfield? I thought he was really good, even though it wasn't one of his best games. We don't win that game without Ty Simpson. Thoughts about Ty?
No, he's good for about 250 yards and 2 touchdowns every game, and that's what he did here.
And no picks.
Fumble, but that was – and no picks. I know he's only thrown one. Lost a few fumbles. But I mean, that fumble was a blind side. I mean,
well, that was on our protection on our line. Maybe he should have thrown the ball away a little quicker, maybe. But yeah,
it's a bad play call against the blitz. You know, play action is a long a play that takes long to develop. You know, they're blitzing, they're going to get there quick. It's just not a very good play call against the blitz. And Daniel Hill didn't get there. But
well, not only that, they blitzed six. So both edge rushers were coming around him. So on both sides, he was about to get munched. And then up the middle as well, there was a guy coming to get him. So he had three guys closing in on him, and we didn't handle it well. We got schooled. That blitz got us. And we didn't have a quick outlet either. He didn't have a quick throw on that play action. There was no safety valve. So hats off to them. We got burned, and we weren't ready for it.
I'm glad we got it out of the way. Just one game at a time.
So
it's a win.
Yeah. So the second player I had noted who I thought had a great game was Jeremy Bernard. I thought he had a great game.
Two touchdowns in like 3 minutes, I think.
Yeah. So he had 23 yards rushing and one touchdown. He had five catches for 54 yards and a touchdown. I thought, and he plays well every week. Mm-hmm. He's always dependable. Love Jerm. Third player I noted was Josh Cuevas. He's really solid. I love the guy. He's dependable. There's a great play where on that touchdown, you can see him run his route. Ty looks left. He's got Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams over there. You can see the defense shading there. And then you see Cuevas running his route way to the right. And then Cuevas floats to the middle, and you can see these things open up because we also have a receiver over here, and then Cuevas is right by the referee, and you see Ty Simpson's look left, then he looks to the middle and fires and hits Cuevas for the touchdown. Huge play on I believe that was fourth down on that touchdown, and great play to get that. So he's just and on the two-point conversion when they did that the shotgun to Daniel Hill where it looked like the Wildcat, and they handed it to Ty, and then Ty threw it to Cuevas. That was a wild play. I love that. So I had Cuevas. And then the fourth player I noted on offense was Daniel Hill. He had four catches for 76 yards. He made a real impact, and he had some tough runs too to get yardage. So I thought he played well.
I'm trying to think, what is our longest rush from a running back? Not against Louisiana Monroe.
No idea. I don't think it's a lot, though.
I don't think it's 20 yards.
I'd have to look that up, but I don't think we have. And we certainly don't have anybody that's taken it to the house like we've had previous Bama backs do go 50, 60 yards to the house.
Well, I mean, A.K. Deer did against ULM, but that's why I said not against ULM.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, against quality D1 opponents.
Yeah.
On defense, so I have six players that I noted. Is there anybody else on offense that you think is worth noting that had a great game that stood out to you?
No, not really.
Okay. So on defense, I said Deshaun Jones, pick six for an INT, and he also had three tackles.
Yeah.
So put him down. Any other comments on Deshaun Jones? And
nope, he made that touchdown interception. I didn't see him making too many mistakes either. So
yeah. Justin Jefferson had seven tackles and one sack, and the only one I saw where I thought he blew it was when he blitzed and he had the opening up the middle. If he'd blitzed through there, he would have tackled or sacked Sellers. And yet he chose to go where there were two other guys also trying to blitz, and he got tied up, and that just left. It was like the parting of the Red Sea, and it just opened up in the middle, and you just see Sellers squirt through there, and he, runs it for like 25 yards and a first down. They get a field goal out of that. So that was a mistake he made, but he's so aggressive, and he's a playmaker all over the field. So any other thoughts on JJ?
Nope, probably our best defensive player right now.
I think he's great. Nakai Hill-Green had seven tackles, and I thought he was very impactful in the game, so I noted that. think he's really doing a lot on defense now, and he's making an impact. Thoughts on Green?
Yeah, he's doing well. Maybe a little slow at times, but he's fine.
Next player, huge play. Deontay Lawson, strip fumble of Sellers, and he had seven tackles on top of that. He had a really good game.
He did.
He was part of that bend but don't break defense, and he plays hard, and I don't think he's lost a quarter step, a half step after the injury, but man, does he play hard, and he likes to hit, and he gets after it.
Yep.
Next player I noted was Tim Keenan, four tackles. He stuffed Sellers on that QB draw, held him up, and allowed it as he stopped that push up the middle, allowed Deontay Lawson. I don't even think
he realized he had that fumble. Everybody
no, he didn't. Down. I think Deontay Lawson shoved the ball under him, and then he's like, you got the ball.
Yeah.
Because I think he's telling him that the ball's under you as he shoves it under him to make sure.
Because Lawson looked like he was the only one that realized that it was a fumble. Everybody was just getting ready for the next play.
Right,
like,
yeah,
down,
yeah.
Down. For momentum, they called it dead, but no, it was a fumble.
And then Keenan comes out of the pile with the ball. His loss is like, I stripped it out, and it's under him. He's got the ball. Uh-huh. So I thought Tim Keenan had a good game and was impactful. And then Bray Hubbard had eight tackles, two pass deflections, and I thought overall he always makes his presence felt. So those are the defensive players I noted.
Yep. I don't really have anybody else either.
Okay. All right, on offense, let's go with some grades. How would you grade our offense in that game?
Maybe like a C. It wasn't good until the end.
So,
I mean, 5-3 and outs, a fumble.
A turnover on downs.
Because, yeah, we were up 14-6, but one of those touchdowns was an interception.
Correct.
So I'm going to go with like a C. It was not great.
So I thought it was a C minus until the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And then I give it an A plus the last 10 minutes of the game.
Was that average out to a B plus? A B?
So I'd probably give it a C plus because we dug ourselves a big hole. And other than that one drive in the first half, I thought our offense was very pedestrian and ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we needed it, that last 10 minutes, it was brilliant. Ty was brilliant. I thought Grubb had some really good play calls. I'm like, why have we not had better play calls on other drives and we're going three and out? But so I guess you got to say it was a C plus overall, but I thought it was an A or an A plus the last 10 minutes of the game, and the rest of the game, other than that one drive we had in the first half, it was bad. It was just, but at least we weren't turning the ball over repeatedly. We had, because the special teams won, that's not the offense's fault. Can't blame it on the offense there. I thought the O-line did not play well. I would give them a C-. I thought the South Carolina defense was – I thought on both – what'd you think? I thought we lost both lines of scrimmage most of the game.
I don't think so on the – I mean, we got to Sellers a lot. I mean, and he was just hard to get down. I'd say we won it on the defensive side, but not the offensive.
Okay, fair enough. I'll agree with you. So overall, I'd give it a C plus on offense, only because we came up big in the fourth quarter when we needed to.
Yep.
And an A plus that last 10 minutes. How about defense? How would you grade the defense?
Probably a B plus. Had, you know, two big plays. That last touchdown wasn't even really their fault. I mean, that was, you know, we had that muff punt from Mbakwe. And then they were, like, already in the red zone and they scored. I mean, you know, without that, they give up 15 points and you have two turnovers. I'll give it a B+.
Okay. So I grant you that muff punt gave them short field. But on the touchdown play where Sellers scored.
That wasn't good.
That we lost containment. We never set the edge. And if you look at, I believe it was Yanze Pierre, I believe was on the edge. And he had his hips focused towards the center of the field. And he had his outside leg in front of his inside leg. So he didn't even try to worry about Sellers. He needed to be the one to force Sellers back in. So Sellers just walked into the end zone. And I think they're coached that way. I don't think we do a great job of setting the edge. And I think our defense is really effective when we do. So I did not like the fact that he had such an easy time because he fakes it, keeps the ball. And some, I mean, Sellers is so good, you have to account for him every play. You can't not, you can't just peek in and go for the running back and think he's going to hand the ball off. So I thought that was an F play there. I give it an F on scheme. I give it an F on execution. Maybe the scheme was a C, but I give it an F on execution. So I thought we blew that play there. So that was bad. But, yeah, they had a short field. They were in a bad position. Had they not scored on that play, they probably would have gashed us and got the ball in the end zone anyway. But I thought that was bad. And then it was a completely blown coverage on the Nick Harbor TD, but to me, those were two plays. So I'd give the defense a B overall. It was bend but don't break. We did get two turnovers. We got a pick six for a score. And how huge was that Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan play?
I mean, that was the ball game right
that,
there.
That gave us the ball. And we were able to punch it in. And because I really thought South Carolina was going to go down and score and walk off with the field goal and a win, and we're going to lose by three.
I think the happiest person after that game is probably Connor Talty. He was probably sweating bullets over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and how much was Kane sweating bullets had we not gotten that turnover? Because what if his defense had allowed South Carolina to go down there and score the winning field goal? He would have been sweating it too. Yeah. So, you know, super healthy. So I definitely think the defense was better than the offense in the game. I'd give it a B just because I hate that we give up these chunk plays every game. I think we're too much of a bend but don't break defense, but we are getting turnovers recently. We've been forcing some turnovers, and that's been great. So I'll give it a B. All right, any other thoughts on the defense before we go to the special teams?
I don't think so, no.
All right, what's your grading of the special teams?
Fine, except for that muff punt.
And how do you factor that in the grade?
I mean, I have to weight it pretty heavily because everything else just kind of went to plan. We didn't do anything amazing. I mean, Connor Talty had a good squib kick at the end, I guess, but
yeah.
I'll probably give that a C plus or a B minus because of that muff punt.
So our punting was really good. Even though we had to punt a lot, punter averaged 55 yards per kick. That's good. We didn't have any 30-yard kicks where they get a short field. So that was nice. That really helped. Like you said, good squib kick. We made all our extra points when we had to kick them, and we didn't try any field goals. We never got into field goal range. But that you cannot do what happened on that punt. You cannot have a – fumble muff where it hits a guy blocking. It just can't happen. So I give the special teams a C because of that, because you can't have that. That almost beat us. That
I might be at the stage where I just don't, nobody back there, don't even just get away from it every single time.
So wouldn't you have a guy to catch it? You'd have like Cole Adams back there to catch it, right?
To
field it.
No.
Well, what if they pin us back at the five? I trust Cole Adams to catch the ball. You just didn't need Mbakwe running back there trying to block that guy. So I trust Cole Adams. We just can't get caught in that block stuff again.
No muff punts. Muff punts are demoralizing.
Yeah, they're bad. There's no doubt.
Because like, oh, you stopped them on fourth down. I mean, it's almost like giving up a 50-yard pass play.
It's worse. Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're on our own 20. We're going to kick it. And then you muff it on our own 20. Oh, you're already in the red zone. You score a touchdown. I mean, it is terrible.
It is terrible. You're right. It was a really bad play, and they capitalized on it. So that's why I gave special teams a C, because that can't happen.
No.
All right. What's the overall coaching grade?
The last 5 minutes helped. I'll give it a B.
Okay. I was going to say B minus because of the special teams and because the offense was ineffective. Defense thought we were a B. So I give it a B minus overall. And here's what I will give it. I'll give it an A for winning on the road when we didn't play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like the resiliency. I like the fact that our guys keep fighting. I like the fact that when we dig ourselves in a hole, we've been able to get out of that hole. Other than FSU, we've been able to get ourselves out of a hole and we've gotten in a hole in these games.
Yep.
Which is huge. So what about overall grade for the win?
It's an A because we won on the road against an unranked team and DeBoer has trouble with that.
I agree. All right,
it's the black hoodie.
Yeah, well, hey, any SEC road win to me, I don't care whether we win by one or win by 25, is a good win.
Yep.
And how many games did Saban win on the road where we would barely win? We'd win by a field goal or we'd score a touchdown. He had a lot of road wins where he would say we didn't play our best, but we got it done.
Yeah.
And in the, I think if you go look at those championship seasons, anytime he won a natty, I mean, Tennessee, what about the block kick at the end of the first championship game where we blocked two kicks in that game?
Yeah.
Tennessee had a chance to beat us. So
on the road at Auburn many times.
Yes. Yeah. Ole Miss
comes to mind when we were down 24-3.
Yes.
There's others. But anyway,
there's a bunch there's a bunch where we've had that happen. So, all right, let's go through some key games. I want to get your reaction to some key games that happened this weekend. So I'm just going to read them off. First game, Virginia beats North Carolina in overtime to remain in contention for the ACC championship. And Virginia only has one loss. Any thoughts?
Surprised me a little bit. North Carolina is not very good.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
but maybe they're improving and maybe the coaching of the hoodie, the original hoodie, maybe Belichick is starting to have an impact and players are getting better and he's finding who his best players are, even though UNC, I agree with you, not very good. But Virginia, what do you think? Do you think they can make the playoffs or are they going to get exposed?
After that, they might lose to somebody, but
it was on the road. It was in Chapel Hill. It wasn't in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I think the ACC is only going to put one team in the playoff. They might get two in, but they're not getting three in. There's no way. So they're going to eliminate each other in some fashion, but Virginia's only got one loss. They're still in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Memphis beat South Florida to keep Memphis in contention for the G5 spot. I assume South Florida after that loss is done, but any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of whatever. I guess South Florida's just out of it now.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Indiana ends the UCLA winning streak as they roll over them. They killed them. They killed them.
Indiana might be legit.
I think they are legit.
I think that Big Ten championship game will be really, really good.
And don't you think?
I mean, you know.
It's Ohio State, Indiana, right? There's no chance another team gets in there.
I mean, they don't play anybody the rest of the year. Unless they – I don't know how.
Indiana's going undefeated, don't you think?
Yeah, they don't play anybody.
And I think Ohio State's going undefeated as well.
Yep.
So, I think we're going to have two undefeated Big – 10 teams in the championship playing for the number one seed.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, next game, Ole Miss beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma. I noted, here's what I said, Oklahoma's on life support because they have two losses. I think Ole Miss is in great shape and likely going to make the playoffs. They're going to have
that game, they are. They have a pretty easy schedule, but hey, Mississippi State, they still have to play Mississippi State. They might spoil them.
Well, and last year they lost to Kentucky at home and then went down to Florida and lost to Florida. So Ole Miss
lost to somebody else too, didn't they? They lose to LSU? Yeah.
Yes, they lost. But, I mean, LSU was good last year. They lost to LSU even though they had a chance to beat them. But the Kentucky loss and the Florida loss killed them. So if Ole Miss can just avoid that, you know, two bad losses, they can lose one game and still get in. I think if they lose only one more game, they're still going to get in. If they lose two, they're out. I think Oklahoma, even though they've only got two losses, I think Oklahoma is going to lose to us here. That'll knock them out. Probably going to lose to somebody else. Do they have to go to Vanderbilt? Seems like Oklahoma has to go to Vanderbilt. Or maybe Vanderbilt's coming there. But anyway, I think Oklahoma's not going to make the playoffs. I think they're done. But, you know, they have no margin. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Georgia Tech beats Syracuse. They're still undefeated. They're in the running for the ACC championship and also in playoff contention. Thought about Georgia Tech.
Yeah, they're pretty good. That ACC race might actually be pretty interesting. You got Louisville. I don't think Miami's going to make the ACC championship game.
I think if they win out, they will. But yeah, they might not. They might be a one loss team sitting on the outside looking in.
I don't think so. But we'll see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends on
Louisville. There's Virginia, because like one of those teams is going to have to lose twice, and I don't think they are.
Well, they've only lost to Louisville.
Yeah.
I don't remember who Miami's got left on their schedule. So a lot of it just dictates who plays whom and who might get a second loss. But you could have an undefeated Georgia Tech playing a one-loss Miami or a one-loss Virginia or a one-loss Louisville. And then what's going to happen if you got a 2 1-loss teams in the ACC that aren't in there? I mean, are you going to let 3 ACC teams in the playoffs?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, but what about strength of schedule?
Right.
I think 2 ACC teams are probably going to get in.
I think the 2 teams that are in the ACC championship will.
Probably. So that's going to be interesting. The ACC is very interesting at this point, but there's a lot of bad teams in the ACC as well.
Yeah.
And it's going to be weird if you end up with 1 undefeated and 3 1-loss ACC teams to see what happens. How that ends up playing out. But really, kind of like the SEC, very undecided as to who's going to be in that championship game right now. You got a bunch of contenders. Vanderbilt beats Missouri. I think Missouri's done, and Prabula's hurt. I don't think it's season ending, but he's hurt. And Vanderbilt's in the SEC championship race and in playoff contention.
Yep.
Which is kind of wild.
We will see.
And SEC could get 5 teams in the playoffs.
Maybe more.
I don't think they'll get 6. I don't think there's any way they get 6, but I think they can get 5 for sure.
Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt.
Tennessee. But I think one of those is going to take a loss that'll knock them out. I don't know who. I don't know which
Texas
one.
Texas might still be in there. Who knows?
Well, and Texas has got 2 losses. I'm going to get to Texas in a minute, and we'll talk about Texas. But Vanderbilt's got to play Texas, so one of those will get eliminated. Vanderbilt's got to play Tennessee. You could have a 2-loss Vanderbilt team playing a 2-loss Tennessee team.
Knock them out.
As an elimination game.
Yeah.
There's a high possibility of that. Vanderbilt's probably the toughest game that Tennessee has left. I believe Oklahoma has to go to Tennessee. So you think I would think Tennessee's going to beat Oklahoma at Tennessee to knock Oklahoma officially out, because Oklahoma has 2 losses. That'll finish them off. If Tennessee doesn't finish them off, we'll finish off Oklahoma. But, you know, there's a lot yet to be determined. I just think mathematically it's going to be hard, because I don't think a 3-loss SEC team can get in the playoffs. Do you?
Well, there were 3 that almost did last year, but it's a different year.
I just don't think you're going to get a 3-loss SEC team in. We'll see, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I think you could end up with 5 teams in the SEC that only have 1 loss or 2 losses.
Yeah.
And you could have an undefeated Texas A&M going into the SEC championship.
Yep.
So I'm predicting 5 SEC teams in and 4 for sure. I don't think they're going to get six, but we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch it keep unfolding. Washington beats Illinois. Illinois's done. That's their third loss. They're done. Washington's not very good either. They've been exposed. They're not a playoff contender, even though they only have two losses. They're going to take another loss. They're out. BYU remains undefeated. They beat Iowa State. Iowa State's done, but BYU's in contention for the playoffs. They're in contention for the Big 12. Thoughts on BYU?
Nobody's really talking about BYU, and honestly, I haven't really watched them a lot myself. But, you know, they might come out of the Big 12.
Or they may end up playing in the championship against, like, Texas Tech, a one-loss Texas Tech, and then they lose there. And then the question is, do you put a one-loss BYU in if they lose in that and Texas Tech wins? Do you put them both in?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I don't think there's any way the Big 12 gets more than two teams in. I kind of think they're a one-team bid conference, but we'll see.
Yeah, no more than two.
Right, two's the max.
BYU, Texas A&M, Texas Tech.
Right.
Would be it, but –
but yet to be determined. Texas Tech wins easily. They're still in playoff contention. I think BYU, Texas Tech are the front runners for the automatic bid. And then the question is, can the other of those two get in?
Yeah.
Cincinnati, I think, only has one loss right now. They beat Baylor, so Baylor's done. They're out of it. Cincinnati's another one of those that can they end up with one loss and be in contention.
Yeah.
Well,
I haven't watched a lot of them either. I did see them beat Nebraska week one, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, they've had some decent wins, but I don't think they're good enough to be in the playoff, but we'll see. So Texas wins in overtime against Mississippi State, hits a punt return, what, with 2 minutes to go, runs it back.
Yeah.
How Mississippi State? How do you let that happen?
I don't know. I told you about this, and you said, oh, I turned it off.
I did. I was shocked.
Yeah, they came back and won in overtime.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked when I looked at it. And it's like, what a choke job by Mississippi State. I mean, I think Mississippi State's a really good team for how bad their record is. They're like South Carolina.
Yeah.
South Carolina's a good team with a bad record. I think Mississippi State's a good team with a bad record.
Yeah.
And they've had some heartbreaking losses. And I said Texas, like Oklahoma, is still on life support for a playoff spot, but they got to run the tables. I don't think Texas is capable of doing it. I think Vanderbilt or Texas A&M is going to beat Texas. They're going to take a loss. They're not running the tables.
But they go 10-2 with wins against Vanderbilt.
Well, right. If they go 10-2, they have no margin. That's
they still have to play Georgia too, don't they?
Correct.
Oh yeah, no, they're done.
They're gonna take it.
However, I will say if they win all three of those games and go 10-2,
they deserve it. Well, they deserve it. Yeah, if they go any SEC team that goes 10-2 is going to the playoffs. I just don't think Texas can do it.
Yeah, they might lose like four games.
Right. I think it's more likely that they lose four games than they only lose two.
Yeah.
If you said bet on them losing four or bet on them only losing two, I'd bet on them losing four.
Mm-hmm.
Because they should have lost to Mississippi State and they should already be eliminated. So how lucky was that? I can't believe Mississippi State gave up that punt return.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. So Oregon wins over Wisconsin, but they didn't beat them very badly. So my comment was Oregon looked mid. So I think Oregon's going to the playoffs, but I don't think they're that good.
No, I think – 28 points Wisconsin. Wisconsin is terrible.
I know. They're terrible. We crushed them. We crushed Wisconsin. So I don't think Oregon is a true national championship contender to win it, but I think they're going to go to the playoffs. I think they'll be the third team out of the Big Ten to go, and I think the Big Ten will only put three teams in the playoffs, but – I think Oregon's going to get exposed in the playoffs as not – I mean, Indiana already exposed them, but I think they'll get exposed again as not being that good.
For sure.
Miami wins over Stanford, still a one-loss team, still in playoff contention, still in contention for the ACC championship. I don't have much else to say except that Miami just needs to keep on winning if they want to go to the playoffs.
Yep, pretty much. Because remember last year, they looked like they were going to go to the playoffs – And then they lost to Syracuse.
Yes. Yep.
Cam Ward.
And didn't even make the ACC championship. Clemson nope. got in there, and Clemson beats SMU. And
everybody was talking about these three loss, you know, Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Nobody was talking about Miami potentially getting in. Everybody wrote them off, and they only had two losses.
Correct.
Schedule.
Because they didn't have any good wins, and they took a bad loss to Syracuse.
Yep.
So Louisville wins again, and Louisville's still a one-loss team in the ACC and in playoff contention. The ACC race is going to be very interesting to see who comes out of there.
Yep.
To me, it will – if they're truly looking at strength of schedule, I don't think you can put two ACC teams in and put two Big 12 teams in, because I think both of those conferences are weak and their strength of schedule, but it could happen.
Well, let's see, five SEC, three Big Ten. That's eight already. You got to have a
and Notre Dame's probably going to run the table. We'll talk about Notre Dame, but they're probably going to run
watch.
The table.
There's going to be some teams not get in that you're like, what? I mean, they should be in.
Right. And they're going to put a group of 12 in. So if Notre Dame and that only leaves two spots.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's not getting in.
Yeah.
Probably should.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And if the Big 12 and the ACC get two teams in, that's going to take away from an SEC team.
Yep.
So going to be very interesting. Texas A&M still undefeated. I mean, they're in great shape. Do you think if Texas A&M goes undefeated, they go 13-0, should they be the number one seed in the playoffs? Over Ohio State and over Indiana.
Maybe.
Because their strength of schedule will be through the roof.
Yep. Maybe, yeah.
So, I think Texas A&M is the only team in the SEC that could be the number one seed. I think if Bama goes 12-1, I think Bama will be the number two seed. But I think Texas A&M could be the number one seed if they run the table.
Yeah. They probably should be, yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it, the Big Ten is not that good of a conference.
Dave Portnoy would disagree with you.
They're not that good.
Yeah, they got to go up against Rutgers and Maryland and Northwestern and UCLA.
I mean, USC's not that good. Michigan's okay, not great. I'm sorry, Dave Portnoy, but they're not that great. Michigan's not that great. Iowa?
Illinois.
I mean, Penn State's terrible. Maryland?
Yeah, not good.
Yeah. So, it's funny. So, next one is Michigan beat Michigan State. I put Michigan down as they're on life support. They got two losses. They can't lose the third game. And I'm not sure even a two-loss Michigan gets in, but I think Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State. I think Ohio State goes to Ann Arbor and takes care of business.
You never know with them. Who knows?
You don't, but I think Michigan's going to get a third loss somewhere. They're not going 10-2.
No.
I don't think. But we'll see. Tennessee wins over Kentucky. Tennessee has no margin. I think a three-loss Tennessee cannot make the playoffs. Tennessee's got to win out, but their schedule's set up so they can win out.
Yep, Vanderbilt.
They got I believe they got Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Missouri. I think they've got all three of those, but those are all winnable games for them.
I believe they have Vanderbilt and Oklahoma at home.
Correct, they do.
So
they're favored in every game they have left to play. So Tennessee's got a good shot at going 10-2. They're still in, but they have no margin. They have no margin to a third loss. They're out. Houston wins over Arizona State to eliminate Arizona State. Houston's only got one loss, I believe.
Yeah.
So I guess they're in playoff contention too.
Guess All right, so.
Let's talk about the SEC standings. You got Texas A&M at Bama are both 5-0. Ole Miss, Georgia, 4-1. Vandy's 3-1. Texas is 3-1. So that Vandy Texas game, that's an elimination game. Tennessee at 3-2, Missouri 2-2, Oklahoma 2-2, and Florida 2-2. Florida's done. They've got four losses. They have no chance for the playoffs. So
do you think that, I mean, it's already done and it's just a hypothetical, but with their schedule, and if they, depending on who they beat do you think that Florida could make the playoff if they went like 9-3?
But they've already lost four games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know. It's a hypothetical. It's already happened.
Nope. I don't think so. I don't think Florida could have made it. I don't think any SEC team is going to make it at 9-3. Because the problem is you may have these 11-1 teams in the ACC and the Big 12 that'll gobble up a spot.
Yeah.
Not deservedly so. I don't think they're as good as these SEC teams, but I think, you know, because look at that. Arizona State goes to Mississippi State and loses. And Mississippi State may not win an SEC game.
Maybe not.
So how good is Arizona State?
Right.
How good? It's
a big win for them, though.
A huge win for Mississippi State, but I'm saying that just kind of exposes the Big 12 to me. So Missouri's got to win out. Here are the teams that have to win out to get in. Texas has two losses. Tennessee has two losses. Missouri has two losses. And Oklahoma all have two losses on the season.
I think some of they play each other. So
they do. So there's elimination games in there.
Yep.
So probably only one of those four teams is going to be left standing with the playoff opportunity.
So Oklahoma has to play Tennessee.
And Alabama. They have to come to Alabama. Yeah. Yeah, Oklahoma's done. And Mateer's still hurt, I think. He's struggling.
They looked pretty good there for a second, but they if they beat Ole Miss, they'd be looking good.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They did not. Yeah, because they'd only have one loss. And I think Oklahoma's going to take another loss or two. They're going to come here and lose. So that'll knock them out. Missouri-Tennessee's an elimination game. Tennessee-Vanderbilt's an elimination game, probably. A 10-2 Vandy team gets in the playoffs. 9-3 Vandy does not. And then Texas has got a bunch of hard games left.
Yeah.
So.
It'll even out.
So I think barring these teams falling flat on their face, I think Texas A&M, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia are all going to the playoffs. Question is, can a Vanderbilt, Texas, or Tennessee take a fifth spot?
Yeah.
But if Georgia loses to Texas and then Georgia loses to Georgia Tech, Georgia could be out of the playoffs.
How many SEC teams were in it last year? Only three, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we had a bunch of 9-3 teams sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're likely to have a bunch of 10-2, 11-1 teams. Maybe Texas A&M runs the table. Maybe.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about Heisman. Heisman odds. The odds on favorite to win it right now is Fernando Mendoza. Ty Simpson's at second lowest odds. So he's in terms of the odds makers, he's in second place. Julian Sands in third place in terms of best odds to win it. Then you got Marcel Reed, Diego Pavia, and then Gunnar Stockton, believe it or not. But Gunnar Stockton's not winning the Heisman. So thoughts about those five. Who do you think's going to win it, and who do you think's going to be in New York?
I think they're going to send Diego Pavia to New York. You know they're going to. I think he gets sent to New York. I don't know if he'll win it. How many do they send like a different amount of people to New York?
They'll send at least four, probably, maybe five, but I think they'll send at least four.
I think with this year and with Diego Pavia, they might send those top five if that's how it stays.
Yeah.
Julian Sands, he's just winning. He's not putting up video game numbers or anything.
He's got good numbers, but right, not video game numbers, but he's got incredible defense.
Simpson's had a bunch of good wins, He doesn't put up video game numbers, but he's just solid every week.
Well, and his interception to touchdown ratio is exceptional.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what Milrow did last year with essentially the same team and how Simpson's doing. And if you're arguing the Heisman is the most valuable player on the best team, he's been incredible.
Yeah, he has.
And clutch.
Yep.
Marcel Reed. That's going to be an interesting one, too. And again, a lot depends on how these next 4 or 5 weeks go. But no one has separated themselves like a Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Or like a Jaden Daniels or like a Derrick Henry. No one has just totally
separated. What did this list look like before the season started? Were any of these guys here?
No, none of them. None of them. I mean, who'd you have? Arch Manning. You had John Mateer.
Drew Aller, Cape
John. Yeah, John Mateer, Clay Platt. No, none of these. None of these guys were in the top five.
I think Arch Manning was like the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, he was. It's crazy.
And he's toast.
Yeah, and Klubnik's toast, and Drew Aller's out for the season. And
Jared Nussmeier.
Nussmeier's playing hurt, and he's not having a great season.
I think Lenore Sellers was up there a little
he
bit.
He was. A lot of people thought. And, is it Talen Green for Arkansas is having a good season, but they stink.
Yeah.
He's really good, but they stink. So, all right, odds to make the quarters of the college football playoffs. I'm going to read you who the top eight are. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame have the best odds to be in the quarters.
Mm.
I think that's a good list.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you feel like, you know, maybe you could argue a Miami could be in that list or a Texas Tech, but other than that, who would you throw in there?
I think that looks good. I don't know who else really.
Yeah. And then the odds to win the Natty. These are the top seven. You got Ohio State, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Oregon.
Hmm. Indiana might be a little high. I don't think they'll win it.
Well, I think everybody's just looking at how Indiana's crushed. Other than Iowa, they've crushed everybody.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
Vanderbilt at plus 3,000. That's a pretty good value. Where are you getting these odds, John? Did you get these off FanDuel or something?
I pulled them off. Yeah, I think they came off FanDuel. But, I mean, Vandy's not winning the national championship. They just don't have the depth.
Hey, Diego Pavia said they were.
Yeah. I think they can get in the playoffs. They ain't winning the Natty.
Yeah.
There's no chance. Well, I think that's where we are right now at the end of the season. Okay, parting shots on Alabama, parting shots on where we are in the season. Any other thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Glad we got the W. We might have been looking not so great had we lost that game. But we live another day. A win is a win. The resiliency was good, showed that we can come back and, you know, still have confidence that we can win and make the plays needed. Still need to get better, but got a bye week that is much needed. That's good. And then I think we're going to beat LSU in 2 weeks.
Had you told me at this point in the season we would be 7-1 and 5-0 in the SEC, I would have taken that all day long. Said, no, I don't want to see them play any games. Let's just start the last four games at that point.
Yep.
So to get to the bye week at 7-1 and 5-0 in the SEC and 3-0 on the road in the SEC, I love it.
Yep.
Even though I don't think we've played in any of these big games, our A game,
that's good enough for
me. What I have to say right now is I would grade where we are in the season, how well we've done in the season, an A for how well we've done on the season other than Florida State. even though I don't think we've played our A game in any of these games, I love where we are. And yep. and we're in great position to make the playoffs. Now we just got to get focused, win these last four games, and then go win the playoffs.
Yep.
I'm super thrilled with where we are. I'm excited about it. Love Ty Simpson. I wouldn't trade him for any other quarterback in college football, would you?
No.
If you said you can have Fernando Mendoza, would you take Mendoza over him? Would you take Julian Sain? You know, we had a chance to have Julian Sain.
No.
Would you take Marcel Reed?
No.
I think we have
to do that. I can't do that to Ty. I would never. Nobody.
I love Ty. I think we get now. I might trade out some of our offensive line players. Mm-hmm. I might trade running backs. I might say Justice Haynes, come on back.
Yeah.
But our receivers, I might trade other than Jeremiah Smith. I don't think I'd take any other receiver in the country.
Nope.
On defense, I might say give us a few more defensive linemen, some interior linemen to stuff the line. But we got players. We got a great team. I'm excited. Feeling a whole lot better about this year's team than last year's team.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So I'm excited. All right, is that it? Any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, hit the notify button wherever you access the podcast. We thank you. God bless and roll tide.
Roll tide.